The church age is over. That's the title of this message tonight. The church age is over. And when we come to Revelation, the 4th chapter and verse 1, the church age is over. It begins with metatope. After these things I saw, and behold, a door having been opened in the heaven. And the voice of the first one, which I heard as a bugle, a salpigos, as a bugle, a loud sound, a loud reasoning and far-reaching human voice, saying, with me, come up here, and I will point out to you which things it is binding necessary to come to place or to happen. After these things. After what things? After the church age. Now, I want to go back with you again, because sometimes we need to remember where we started. I am going to read some things to you from the Hebrew-Greek Study Bible by Spyros Zodiotis. And these are some of the things as we look at the book of Revelation. We're in the 4th chapter. We've gone through the church age. We've gone through all kinds of problems that the church would have. And now the church is glorified with Christ. The rapture has taken place, and the word rapere is in the Greek, in the Latin Bible, which comes from harpazo in the Greek. It means to snatch away. Enoch and Elijah were both types of the rapture. Enoch was taken, snatched up, and Elijah was taken up. Many people think they're the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, but I do not believe that, because it would be an injustice against what they are. They're a type of the rapture, so why in the world would they send them back to suffer and die, even though they didn't taste death? It's a type of the rapture. The book of Revelation is full of Hebraisms and symbolism. Repeat, the book of Revelation is full of Hebraisms. It's full of Hebrew grammar, not Greek. The many scholars, Greek scholars, have said the book of Revelation could not be inspired because it has so many grammatical mistakes. But if you know Hebrew, you know it's coming from the Hebrew Bible, from the Hebrew thought. I have no problem with it being inspired at all. It is inspired. It is full of prophecy. The book of Revelation to the New Testament is what the book of Daniel was to the Old Testament. It talks about things to come. Now, the book of Revelation means to take the cover off, apocalypse. The book is full of Hebraism and symbolism. The Revelation is to the New Testament what the book of Daniel was to the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you, the book of Daniel is not the only prophetic book. Isaiah, Psalms, Ezekiel, Zechariah, even Malachi, Joel. These books are very important prophetic books. The author of the book of Revelation is John the Apostle. Revelation 1 and 9, 21 and 2, and 22:8. The same John who wrote the Gospel according to John and the three epistles. In all of John's writings, he emphasizes one very important thing, that Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament. The word Jehovah means he who shall become, and Jesus is that one. Kaiho logar sarx agenito in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, the 14th verse. And the word, the Jehovah, and the word there comes from, it is a Hebraism also, Hadavar, the word in the Old Testament, or Hashem, the name, which is Jehovah. The book of Revelation was written at a time when the church was undergoing terrible persecutions and all kinds of difficulties. The seven churches of Asia represent seven periods of time in the church age. And we looked at our church history chart over there just beyond this chart now. And we saw all of the doctrinal and theological evolution that would take place in the world. And then from the 1600s and 1700s onward, we have tremendous heresies and cults and isms. There were 10 periods of persecution from the Caesars that the book of Revelation talks about. The two most important periods of time during John's life was the reign of Nero in AD 37 through 68 and Domitian in 51 through 96. John was one of the only apostles that did not meet a martyr's death. He died of old age. There was some evidence that he lived until he was 130-something years old, and that he was being carried and pastor of the church of Ephesus, and of course there's where Mary was. He took Mary and took care of Mary until she died, and she was buried in Ephesus. Now the seven churches of Asia are all under Islamic rule. All of that area. Very little Christianity there. The first two chapters, Revelation 2 and 3, were addressed to the churches. Now, we see what's going to happen with the rest of the world. We talk about time traveling, and we know this, scientifically, that if you travel at the speed of light, if you could, that basically time slows down tremendously. Now, John was a time traveler. Daniel was told to seal up what he saw. John is told to write down what he saw. There are four different theological views to the book of Revelation. The first view is the preterist view. The preterist view places the events and visions described as belonging to the past, particularly to the Roman Empire of the first century AD. The believers of this view explain that the highly symbolic character of the book of Revelation is a way that John endeavors to hide the real meaning of what he was saying from the general populace and make it apparent to the believers and to give them comfort during that period of time. That they will see that God's ultimate intervention of the affairs of men will rule over all in the end. Some of the descriptions in the book of Revelation cannot be explained as that of the past. The second view is a historic view, which is a lot like the preterist view. Maintains that what we have in Revelation is a panoramic view of history from the first century to the second coming of Christ. This is the view of most of the Protestant reformers. It symbolizes the book of Revelation. Symbolizes it. It does not take the book of Revelation literally. The third view is a symbolic view, which holds that Revelation portrays a continuing conflict of the forces of good and evil throughout the entire span of the human history. The book, according to this view, is designed to give encouragement since the end of good will, in the end, good will triumph over evil. Now, the fourth view, which I believe, and many of you out there believe, is what we call the futuristic view. The futuristic view. Which maintains that from chapter 4 on, that's where we are now, Revelation deals with the events of the end times, eschatology. According to this view, Revelation is not concerning the events of John's own day as much as later historical events, and particularly those happenings that will take place in connection with the second coming of the Lord. This view takes seriously the predictive and the prophetic element of the book of Revelation in Revelation 1 and 19 and 4 and 1. Very definitely, the final chapters of Revelation deal with the last days, eschatology, and a definite change in things as they are today. Chapter 1 through chapters 2 and 3 tell us the things that were present at the time which were to follow in Revelation 4, chapter 4 through 22. I believe in that interpretation of the book of Revelation. Now let's go back and read Revelation 4 and 1 again in the New American Standard. After these things, after what things? After the church age. I look and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard is like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. And I will point out to you what must take place metatate after these things, after the church age. After the church age. The churches during the church age, as we look over here, here is the church age. The church age began with the calling out of the churches at the seashore of Galilee and will end at the rapture and the consummation of the church age. Like I said, we have four different views of that. I believe the church age will end with a rapture. And we have in the book of Revelation, the church is the administrator of God's kingdom in the world today. After the church is taken away, that's why we have two witnesses. That's why we have angels flying through the heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. Because the church is gone. People will be saved on the earth. But as in the days of Noah, so shall be the second coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, people did not believe Noah's preaching. They did not believe Enoch's preaching for 300 years. Enoch named his son Methuselah, which means when he is dead, it shall come to pass, basically. For 969 years, that boy lived. But at the end of that 969 years came the flood, came the judgment of God. Now Peter tells us that Jesus went down from the cross. He went down into the depths of the abyss. And there he preached the gospel to those that had been disobedient. As I believe, many people will be saved during the tribulation period. I also believe that many people were saved on the outside of that ark. As in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. On the outside of that ark was flooding and drowning and devastation of all, basically, basic of mammal life on this earth. Life would go away. Every human on this earth would die that was outside of that ark. But did some believe on the outside of the ark? Did some believe out there? Yeah, they were disobedient. They didn't get in the ark. So as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. When the Lord comes in His parousia coming, many shall be caught up. I believe all the saved will be caught up and the church. All of the saved, all of those that are names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're in the family of God and the church. They'll all be taken up alive, changed, translated like Enoch and Elijah. Not to leave their bodies behind, but to have bodies changed. The word The Latin word rapere, or rapina, is a translation of the word hapazo. The word hapazo means to snatch away. Raptor, a raptor is a hawk or a falcon, an eagle, something that has claws that can latch on to a prey and carry it away. I will never forget, about November 1958, I remember the month and the year, we rode the bus from Oasis, California, where I live, down at the south end of this valley, up here to Dyer School. That was the first year of the Dyer School, where we went to school. That was in California. They had a schoolhouse in Oasis, California, where I actually lived at that time, which is in the south end of Fish Lake Valley. I watched the animals, rabbits. I watched squirrels. These little, what they call antelope squirrels, look like chipmunks. And I watched two great golden eagles. Now, Fish Lake Valley did not have a paved road in it at that time. It was all gravel road. And they had gravel on the side of the roads, and they graded the roads, I mean, weekly. It was smooth. But out on a great hill, down past the California line, about where Wallace Road is in Fish Lake Valley, there were two great golden eagles. Those golden eagles stood, looked like 3 feet off the ground. I mean, standing up 3 foot. They were large eagles. I happened to go through there one day, and I saw this golden eagle swoop down and grab a cottontail rabbit. And I heard that cottontail rabbit scream with the highest pitched scream, eee! And he screamed and screamed and screamed. He never stopped screaming. And that eagle took him way up in the air and dropped him. And he screamed all the way down to the ground until it went thud. And on that rabbit were the marks of the raptor. The rabbit lost his life. I will remember that to this day. And when I think of the word rapture, I think of that event in my life. I've lived a full life. And didn't sleep a lot. My boy said I lived 250 years and 70 years. Marilyn, I think you would agree with him, I think, don't you? I've lived a lot. I've done a lot of things, seen a lot of things. I worked in the oil fields, I worked in refineries, I drilled water wells, oil wells. I welded pipelines, I screwed pipelines together, laid pipelines, dug ditches. Was a hunting guide, pastored churches, seminary teacher, had a firewood business. And in all of these different trades and things that I did, welder and all of that, I saw many, many things. Many things. Trained horses, hunted Mustangs up here in these mountains. I've seen a lot of things in my life. People sometimes think I'm telling tall stories until they see the evidence. And they realize, it says, I guess it wasn't a tall story after all. It's real happening. Everything that has happened to me, the good and the bad, I believe, has filled my life with illustrations so I can communicate God's Word. I love to preach God's Word. Because that's what God called me to do. All of these things that have taken place in my life, the good and the bad, the terrible accidents, terrible people sometimes. Terrible accidents. I was paralyzed when I was 21 years old, working in the oil fields, lifting too much weight because we had to. We were forced to. That's before OSHA people. People laugh about OSHA, but I'll tell you what, I lived before OSHA. I know what it was like. It wasn't fun. I saw men mangled, killed, hands, feet cut off, cut in two, everything you can think of. Out in those oil fields, blown up and burned up. I've been through a lot of things in my life. Horses that were mean, like grizzly bears. Chew you up and spit you out and stomp you to death. Got horseshoe marks and teeth prints all over me to prove that. Seen a lot of these things in my life. I know how hard it is to work hard. I work hard every day, even as old as I am. And I think all of this came together to teach you that there's a wealth of things in that rabbit. That is a haunting experience. I've heard deer scream like that. Seen wolves and lions, bears. Been in close combat with these animals. Be the victim of violence many times. You see these things like this and you read the book of Revelation, you read and read what happened to these people back in those days. John was no stranger to persecution. Paul wasn't either. It cost Paul his life. Peter was crucified upside down. They were hungry. I tell the story. I know what it is to be hungry and thirsty. We like to starve to death when I was young. I know what it is not to have refrigeration or cooler or electricity or running water. Cannon Oil Well Service kidnapped me, hijacked me one time. Shanghaied me out in Devil's Den. And I was out there over 2 weeks in unbelievable, unlivable conditions until we borrowed a car. You call it stealing sometimes. We had a car out there that had been left there because it wouldn't run. I found out what was wrong with it, and I fixed it and got it running, and we drove to Bakersfield. I went to Cannon Oil Well Service. I said, I want my check. And they said, no, you quit. We won't give you your check. I said, well, that car belonged out on that location over there in Devil's Den. We borrowed it. You need to take it back. We were starving. We had cornflakes and powdered milk and water that was not fit to drink. Took a bath and diesel every day after you got drenched in oil. Crude. Taking a bath in green, slime, salty water. Smelled like sulfur. And boiling that same water and trying to make it fit to drink. And mix that powdered milk with and eat those post-toasties and cornflakes. Bad times, hard times. Hot days and long days and cold nights and long nights. We have a kinsman redeemer that came to redeem us from all of this stuff. We did. His name is Jesus. And this book is called The Apocalypse, The Uncovering of Jesus Christ. Now, old Elijah lived in B.C. 897, and Enoch lived in 3875 B.C., according to some calendars and chronologies. Let's go on and read a little bit more about this book. and about what John saw. John was a real-time traveler. God took John into eternity and into the tribulation period, into the millennial reign, and in the eternity future, and he saw all of it. He said, write it down what you see. John didn't understand everything he saw, but he wrote it down. And that's what we have right now. Immediately, I became in the spirit world, in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm. And you behold, a throne it kept on setting in the heaven. There kept on being a throne setting in heaven. And upon the throne, one sitting. Upon the throne, one kept on sitting. Now, many people have had so-called spiritual experiences. Jack Wilson, better known as the Wovoka, would pass out and go into the spirit world. Now, some people thought he was using peyote. And I know that he did use peyote. He sent peyote to some of his constituents. And according to the Lakota people, which is my people, well, I'm almost a mongrel, Lakota, Cherokee, Dakota, Ojibwe, Chickasaw. According to the Lakota people in my family, peyote was a cheap religion. American Indian people would go out and seek revision. When a white man came to this country and they heard the Bible being read to them, they thought, boy, this is the perfect revelation. This is wonderful. But they saw the messengers were terrible. And they walked off and left all of it because they didn't believe the messenger. Jack Wilson would... One time he was in a trance for 3 days and he said he went to heaven and that God told him that he was Jesus Christ. Well, you know, that was a lie. He came back and told his students that he was Jesus Christ. Before he went out there, he wanted to prove it was, so he stabbed himself in the wrists and in the feet to have the marks of Jesus Christ. Only one Jesus, only one Goel, only one kinsman redeemer died for us. Paul didn't die for us. He died there at the chopping block under the Roman Empire. Peter was crucified upside down, but he wasn't crucified for us. They were crucified for their faith. Only Jesus died for us. Many people in the war die trying to save others. Yet, they all come to meet the Maker. We all come to meet Jesus one of these days. No, Wovoka wasn't Jesus. Many people believe that, but he wasn't. There's only one Jesus, people. And that Jesus came into this world. He was born, Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, to be our kinsman redeemer, made under the law, that he might redeem those that are under the curse of the law. We're all going to die, people. But Jesus Christ died for us, that we might have eternal life. Even though we die, we shall live. Whether it is in the rapture or in the resurrection to come, when we die, our spirits and souls go to be with God, or the lost go into Hades, Sheol. Immediately I became in the spirit world. John was a real spirit traveler. It wasn't Wovoka. It wasn't all these others that said they went into the spirit world. We have one perfect revelation, and that is the Word of God. Behold, I saw a throne sitting in heaven. And the one upon that throne sitting. The word thronos is used 14 times in this chapter. 46 times in the book of Revelation. The throne of God is the center point of all of the book of Revelation in all reality. If you could only see it, and here there is a, you know, the throne of God, called that great rainbow throne. In the other room here, Marilyn is a great artist. And she painted a picture of a sailor out in the ocean with his boat. And his boat was sinking, and he's holding his hands up to God, and there's two angels coming down for him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be saved, but he was not going to go to the bottom of that sea as a lost individual. God was coming for that sailor. He knew Jesus Christ. In verse number 3 it says, "And the one sinning is like in appearance to a stone of jasper." That's a green colored. By the way, there were 12 stones on the high priest's garment, on his breastplate. And every one of those stones represented one of the tribes. Reuben was green. His stone was green, and Reuben means see a son. Ru, see a son, Ben. Behold a son, and behold, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life." And now we have another word here, another stone, and it's sardio, sardis. It's flesh colored. And by the way, this stone is the color of, for the stone was for the tribe of Benjamin, son of the right hand. Jesus is the son of the right hand of God. He is the son of God. And a rainbow, iris. That's the word rainbow there, halo. It's a rainbow. A few years ago, I don't know what caused it, but I saw rainbows. I had been eating some pickled peaches that Marilyn made for me, and all of a sudden I was seeing rainbows all around me, rainbows, sparkling rainbows. That was caused, triggered an ophthalmic migraine. Now this isn't an ophthalmic migraine right here. This is the rainbow throne of God, and it says Kuklothan, circling around the throne, the rainbow throne. The rainbow is a type of God's covenant with mankind and the whole animal kingdom, that he would never flood the world with water again. A rainbow throne around like in appearance to emeralds. Again, green. Many times before and after a storm, we see a rainbow. A rainbow. Now there's a great tribulation period here. A great tribulation period, and it is going to throw the world and mankind into a tribulation like they have never saw before. They have never seen anything like this. A tribulation period, great tribulation, great struggle, great, great suffering of mankind, great death. Death. This, from Revelation 4, excepting for part of the Revelation, the 19th chapter, we have a book of death. A book of death. 5 out of every 6 Gentiles in the world will die. And 2 out of every 3 Jews will die. I'm not looking forward to this business. Zola Levitt said one time, and I had a lot of respect for that man. He linked his website to my website, discoverTheWord.com. He came to Valley Baptist Church and spoke there. And they asked him if he was very proud of being a Jew. He said, I'm proud of I'm a son of Abraham. Yes. But he said, I'll tell you what. My people are going to get to 2 out of 3 of them are going to die during this great tribulation period because they didn't believe in the only begotten Son of God. I'm not part of that bunch. He used to dress himself up like a high priest and go through the offerings and of the festivals, the seven feasts, Yom Kippur, the Hasidur, the Last Supper, or not the Last Supper, but the Day of Atonement, the Passover. He would go through all these things, but he said, I'm a Christian. When Jesus comes, he's coming for me. Do you want to be left into this mess of torment? With the cesspool of humanity there, living on this earth, killing one another. That great monster of the tribulation period, the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet. I don't think you want to be with that. I think you want to be saved and ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins. And then you will have eternal life from that moment on. Eternal life that will change your life, change your mind, change your heart. We get mixed up, we get confused in this world, even as Christians. We may go astray, but God always leads us back to Him. Our Father, we pray that this message will touch people's hearts. That it will bring them to You. That it will prepare them to preach harder than they ever were before, to be better witnesses than they ever were for their families, that they will be able to snatch those out of the fires of hell. And take them with us to be with the glory on high. Father, thank You for all the blessings. I pray for all my students out there. I pray that You touch each and every heart. Protect them. Many of them are going through real hard times. Father, I'm acquainted with all of that. And I know how tough it is. And You do also. Be with them in sickness and the elderly, and a hard time in their lives, marriage destroyed, and people forsook them. And I pray for all of those that You will comfort them and bring them through it. Sometimes we smell like the smoke that the fire we've been through, but we've been through it. Father, thank You for all the blessings You give us. Thank You for watching over my wife, Marilyn, and I continue to pray for her and her heart medicine. That You help her continue on with me.